What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Some people expect solutions to be expensive to be effective. This is not true. Everyone needs somebody who can be supportive and a guide. You'll find the answers you're looking for and the tools to both find answers and offer solutions on the Dr. Melanie Show. Now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
Welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel. Today's the day. For those of you who have been participating in the prayer wheel exercise, it's been 4 weeks, and it's time to share your results. The first 10 people that email me at drmelaniebarton@gmail.com with a summary of how the prayer wheel has helped you, then I'll give you a free 10-minute consult to discuss it. But what if you're brand new? Well, don't worry, you won't miss out. If you go to my website, www.thedrmelanieshow.com, and download from the resource library the prayer wheel and the components that go with it, I will offer on a future program some free consults again. From six areas of our life, I select one or more to discuss on each program. It comes either from spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, financial, or the social aspects of our lives. Today, we're looking at the spiritual and the mental. Here's an interesting question for you. Has God or an angel of God ever talked to you? How did you know if it was God or a psychotic episode? Did you know when you were supposed to do something? How did you know? What if you didn't have the training or the resources or the access to the tools you needed? That sometimes happens. When I was a junior in high school, my minister offered an altar call. I felt led to go forward to say that I was called to be a missionary because it was the 1960s and women were not allowed to go into the ministry. And back then, women could only be pastors' wives or missionaries. So I attempted to go to college to be trained as a missionary, but it didn't work out at the time. I did later marry a man who was called to the ministry, but something was still lacking in my life. And then there was a turnaround. In 1976, the Christian Church Disciples of Christ licensed me to do ministry. I felt elated I could finally do what I felt called to do. But the congregation where my spouse was serving as pastor did not see it that way. It was in a United Methodist church, and my spouse said, "Why don't you go ahead and preach next week?" I said, "Okay." I prepared and prepared and prepared, and when I got up to preach, do you know what happened? Some people walked out. They confronted me. "How dare you do such an irreverent act that's against God and the church's doctrine?" And I told them, it's easier for me to obey God than it is to obey man. Ironically, some of my most opposition came from the women. I think it's because I was threatening to them. Later, when I was serving in my first co-pastorate position, a man came up to me after the worship service. He said, "Can I talk to you for a second?" I said, "Sure." He said, "I want to know, do you preach during that time of the month?" Flabbergasted, I said, "What did you say?" He said, "You know, do you preach during the time of your monthly? Because if you do, you'll defile the altar." And I said, "Have you noticed any defilement yet?" He said, "No." So I said, "Well, I guess I have not defiled it then." He never said anything again. We older women have paved the way for those who have come after us. We were pioneers, and we did not have a charted path. We just plotted ahead, believing in our call and having the journey revealed as we went along. We often paid a heavy price. In my 25 years of ministry before my father died, he never heard me preach. Have you been called to do something special? I would love to hear from you and for you to tell me about your journey. There are two other distinct times that a spiritual being has presented to me. The first was in October of 1969. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, and an angel stood at the end of my bed and told me I was to move to Rochester, New York. I said, no, I don't want to. I was in night school taking college courses. I had a life. Within 48 hours, I was on a plane, moved to Rochester, got a job, and 90 days later, met the person who would later become my spouse of 40 years. Jump now 24 years ahead of that. I was in a hotel room visiting my son at Thanksgiving in Washington, D.C., where he was in seminary. Again, an angel appeared to me, this time beside my bed, and said, you are to set up an holistic psychotherapy center. Again, I said, no, I already have a thriving practice with a group, a pastoral counseling group. I don't want to do this. I'll look at the idea. Well, you guessed it. And 90 days later, time for a break.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Here's a medical update from the Interstitial Cystitis Association. Interstitial cystitis, or IC, is a serious and chronic health problem that feels like a urinary tract infection, but does not respond to antibiotics. Also called painful bladder syndrome, IC can affect anyone. It is estimated that between 4 and 12 million people in the U.S. alone may have IC. That's more than the number of people with breast cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and autism combined. There is no known cause or cure, but there are treatments to help control symptoms and improve quality of life. For information on diagnosis, treatment, and support, visit www.ichelp.org. That's I-C-H-E-L-P, P as in Paul, .org. Or call 1-800-H-E-L-P, P as in Paul, I-C-A.
Are you ready to go green?
You've asked, and we've heard you. Voice America presents the Green Talk Network. Environmental topics are at the forefront of our society, and the Green Talk Network is here to keep you up to date on the latest trends and new innovations for the eco-conscious lifestyle. We'll help promote a variety of ideas on the environment, from global warming issues to how you can become more eco-friendly in your daily activities. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Visit the Green Talk Network page on voiceamerica.com and tune in to help spread the green.
Join classical homeopath Piper Martin to discover an entirely new way to experience pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. Educate yourself and connect with the possibilities of new choices and opportunities for you and your baby. Learn to use homeopathy to support yourself and your baby both physically and emotionally. We'll also discuss topics specific to all women, such as understanding and accepting our bodies, relating to other women, and how to expand out of your comfort zone and discover new and powerful concepts. Tune in to The Whole Woman, Thursdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show. Today, I am interviewing people who have been called by God. Our first interview was with Pastor Derek Smith, the founding pastor of Bright Hope Christian Church. Let's hear his story. Today, I am interviewing Pastor Derek Lamar Smith. He pastors Bright Hope Christian Church in Tallahassee, Florida. And we're talking to him today about his ministry and his call to the ministry. So can you tell us, Pastor, how did God call you to the ministry?
Melanie, thanks so much for having me. I think as far back as I can remember, it was almost innate. I knew that's what I wanted to do. I grew up in a great African Methodist Episcopal church in Central Florida, Mount Tabor AME Church. It had about 150, 200 people, and it was a family in every sense of the word. It was diverse as far as every demographic of age group. We had educators, business people, small business people. I was really nurtured. And the first pastor that I have memory of was Reverend Sylvester Andrews. He had one arm, but he had a prosthetic on the other. And I didn't know it.
It was that good.
It was that good. Anyway, he was short like me, maybe an inch or two taller, maybe shorter. He was a powerful preacher, a sincere preacher. And I remember this at 5 and 6 years old. And I saw that, and it reached me. At that age, he reached me. He was older man, an older man, but it reached me. And I just knew that's what I was supposed to do. And as I grew older, I tried to be a normal teenager, normal. So I was rebellious and hard-headed and all that goes along with that. But I couldn't shake it. Even in school, they called me Rev. Or preacher man. So I couldn't shake it. And that's when I use the word innate, it was innate. I just knew. I just knew.
So it wasn't a voice in your head that some of us get. It was just yourself,
right,
your soul.
That's right. I just knew, you know. And along the way, people told me, do you know the Lord has called you? And so it was confirmations along the way. And affirmations. And so, no, there was, I can't really recollect a voice in my head. But you know, as you grow, you recognize the Holy Spirit impressing upon you. And I didn't know everything about the Holy Spirit then. But I knew that He was a person. I knew that He existed. And I knew He talked to you. And so, I had that great nurturing. And that's what made the difference.
Very interesting. That doesn't happen in all the churches.
It doesn't.
Good. What is the reason, because this is, in my experience, what I've seen is most African-American pastors are bivocational.
Absolutely.
How come?
Because historically, it's historic. First of all, it's educational. Because, you know, historically, African-American pastors have not been seminarians. This is relatively new. This is pastors, African American pastors being seminary trained is roughly maybe 50 years old, I think. So many and along with that, many times the church could not afford or did not know that they could afford a full-time pastor. And unlike today, pastors had large families. So they needed to compensate or augment the income that they were getting from the congregation, which, you know, it may have been little money. Most of the time it was dinner every Sunday at a member's home, or they'd pay you in chickens, or you know, and so
and they paid you what they had.
And so, you know, whatever currency they could provide, that's what they did. And that's why today in the African American church, the pastor's anniversary or appreciation is still a big to-do.
We don't have that in the white church. We miss that.
It's so unfortunate. Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, though, in my 10 years as a pastor, in my 20 years of ministry, I have been fortunate enough to experience the kindness of members that I've served all through the year.
Hmm. And people don't know that you're only 34.
Right.
You've had a long ministry.
I have had a long ministry.
But if you started at age 5 or 6,
yeah, you know, I really took responded to the call around 14,
uh-huh.
And at that time the trajectory of my life changed.
Mm.
And so that's why I'm celebrating 20 years. Not because I'm old,
uh-huh.
but because I've been in ministry that long.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe it.
Mm-hmm. I was called at the age of 17, but
okay.
in a Baptist church, women were not allowed to be a pastor.
Exactly.
I was told I could be a good pastor's wife,
of
I could be a missionary.
Right.
And so it wasn't until many years later that I could finally live out that call.
And that's why education is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Theological education,
mm-hmm.
and being prepared,
yes.
I think it's so important. There's nothing like it.
Mm-hmm.
I've not been able, because I started a family early and I had to go to work, so I did not have that privilege to finish college,
mm-hmm.
though I'll be going back to finish real soon, going off to graduate school. Fortunately, I have had seasoned, experienced, and seminary theologically trained pastors,
mm-hmm.
to pour into me,
okay.
to challenge me to read everything I can get my eyeballs in,
mm-hmm.
not just the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was speaking with you at another time we visited, they taught me that to study with a Bible under one arm and a newspaper under the other.
Yes.
So it was I've taken that with me,
mm-hmm.
all these 20 years.
Mm-hmm. And I also want to point out that it's not just the education.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can get on-the-job training.
Absolutely.
Because that's what I did. I was ordained after 23 years of on-the-job training.
Okay.
I had a year of seminary.
Okay.
I had a master's in another field in social work.
Right, right.
But because I had pastored churches and
mm-hmm.
had done all the right things,
mm-hmm.
eventually they said, we think you've done enough to
right.
qualify
Amen.
To be ordained.
Amen.
So I think you have to have a willingness, but you also have to have the opportunity.
Those two are the perfect combination. They're the recipe for success.
Mm-hmm.
A willingness and that desire to. You know, as a minister, as a pastor, you have to be ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'll get stuck in the status quo and mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they saw that drive in you. Other older pastors saw that passion, the passion
mm-hmm.
in me that you have. That so many bivocational pastors have,
yes.
but they just don't have the resources.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why most African American, and I'm going to tell you, it all boils down to education and economics.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two words,
mm-hmm.
and that's the best answer to that question.
But if somebody's limited by economics
mm-hmm.
and education, that doesn't mean that all the doors are closed.
Absolutely not.
They need to research, because even like the Lilly Foundation
right.
will help with the disciples.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very familiar with the Lilly Foundation, and when I first ran across the Lilly Foundation, it's been some years ago, I was amazed. I said, they'll do all of this?
Yes.
And I was very impressed, and you know, it encouraged me,
mm-hmm.
and so that's why I said I'm not too old. I'm going back,
mm-hmm.
finish, and
mm-hmm.
go on to graduate school, and
mm-hmm.
Wrap this thing up, put a bow on it.
That's good.
Yeah.
My experience has been, I am traditionally mm-hmm. a participant in the white congregation,
right.
but I am fortunate enough
mm-hmm.
to worship with you once a month,
yeah.
and the worship is so dramatically different.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It's more participatory
Absolutely.
Than spectator.
Absolutely.
How come?
Because we take passages in Scripture literally.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says, make a joyful noise. You can't do that sitting down quietly.
Right.
The Bible says, leap for joy.
Mm-hmm.
We take that seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's unfair if we go to a baseball game or a basketball game or a football game and holler and rant and rave and get excited and use swear words and get emotionally involved at that game, at that athletic competition, and then we come to worship and we're sedate
mm-hmm.
and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people say, well, you know, it's reverence, but that it's not being irreverent.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know, my white friends are going to be surprised in heaven.
Uh-huh.
Because they're singing and worshiping all day.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no pews.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so sometime, and we have to recognize that there needs to be a balance of emotional and intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, the African American church, the black church, we've always been charismatic, always been passionate and vibrant in worship. Historically, sometimes we've been a little off balance. We've been a little more at times emotional than
mm-hmm.
intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're balancing.
Good.
And you're getting both.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're getting spiritually, emotionally, intellectually filled.
Yes.
And that's what you need.
Mm-hmm.
After a rough day at work or at home,
mm-hmm.
you need that on Sunday morning or
mm-hmm.
Wednesday nights or whenever the community of faith gathers.
Mm-hmm.
You need it.
But for me, I personally also need the quiet time.
Absolutely.
That's in my personal morning time.
That's when I have mine.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no dancing and shouting in my devotional time
uh-huh.
in the morning. First of all, because my wife and I live in a small apartment, and she would hear me, and
yes.
I'd wake her up.
Yes.
So my morning devotional, which happens between, it begins happening between 5:30 and 6 o'clock every morning, is very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's my time to hear.
Yes, it's my time to listen.
It's my time to listen.
Mm-hmm.
So the African American church has been an emotionally, spiritually vibrant atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
But now as culture is changing and as the African American culture becomes more educated, we're becoming more intellectual.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good thing.
Okay. If a young man or young woman feels called to the ministry
mm-hmm.
and they're in their teens, mm-hmm. what should they do before they can go off to seminary or something?
Well, I think nurturing.
Okay.
Nothing replaces it.
Mm-hmm.
I am what I am today because I was nurtured by a great colony of heaven,
mm-hmm.
a great community of faith,
mm-hmm.
where I didn't know I could speak,
mm-hmm.
but they nurtured me. They set up the opportunities
yes.
for me to do it,
yes.
and not just for me, but for all the youth in our congregation.
Mm-hmm.
But it should be it's a great time of discernment. Hopefully, the person who may be sensing a call can connect with a pastor who that will take them and nurture them and listen to them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Listen to them,
mm-hmm.
because we have to understand that every call into ministry isn't called to pastor.
That's right.
Or called to be senior pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's great when people recognize I'm called to be in a pastoral role as a pastoral counselor.
Mm-hmm.
I'll assist the pastor and I'll be responsible for counseling ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have a special call and sensitivity for women or children,
yes.
or youth.
Mm-hmm.
And there are places for everyone in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're called the body of Christ.
Right.
And we're called the building of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a place for everyone. And my hand cannot say to my foot, I don't need you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because my hands need my feet.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I don't have feet, my hands can't get around.
That's true.
And so a youth that's sensing a call should immediately continue to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Pray and ask the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He'll talk to you to lead you and guide you and go to your pastor
mm-hmm.
and talk.
Yes.
And hopefully they have a pastor who will listen and take them seriously.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this has been a very interesting conversation.
Absolutely.
And what I would encourage, if any listener out there is beginning to feel a call, I want you to email me at drmelaniebarton@gmail.com, and I will get your questions to Pastor Smith, and maybe you can begin a mentoring process.
Absolutely.
With some people.
Timothy.
Yes,
yes.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
All right. And if we want you to come back
mm-hmm.
to do another interview, would you be willing to do that?
I would be on tiptoes in anticipation.
All right. Well, I'm very grateful that you've been willing to do this today.
Thank you very
and
much.
And I hope the listening audience has gathers much that they can use.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for this interview with Pastor Derek Smith. And now let's go to a break.
Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean Issa provides homeowners and investors eager to invest well in real estate the knowledge, resources, and tools necessary to generate significant wealth. Our focus will be the paradigm. Live where you want. Invest where it makes the most sense. Listen live to the brightest minds in real estate investment every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. That's Income Property Investment Talk with Peter Mosca and Dean Issa, where America learns to invest.
Here's a medical update from the Interstitial Cystitis Association. Interstitial cystitis, or IC, is a serious and chronic health problem that feels like a urinary tract infection, but does not respond to antibiotics. Also called painful bladder syndrome, IC can affect anyone. It is estimated that between 4 and 12 million people in the U.S. alone may have IC. That's more than the number of people with breast cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and autism combined. There is no known cause or cure, but there are treatments to help control symptoms and improve quality of life. For information on diagnosis, treatment, and support, visit www.ichelp.org. That's ICHELP, P as in Paul, .org. Or call 1-800-HELP, P as in Paul, ICA.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel. Today we're talking about people who have been called by God. We just heard an interview with Pastor Derek Smith, and now we're going to listen to the story of a different path. This is Dr. Susan Ward Diamond, who's the pastor of First Christian Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and she's also an author. So let's hear her story. Today, I am interviewing Dr. Susan Ward Diamond, who is the senior pastor at First Christian Church in Montgomery, Alabama. Thank you, Susan, for joining us today.
It's great to be with you, Melanie.
Well, good. We're talking this week about how people got called to the ministry. So can you tell our listeners how you got called to the ministry?
Well, it's a wonderful story. I began my journey with Christ at a very young age, but as many teenagers do, I had a very important time of making a decision to become a follower of Christ when I was around 15, 16 years old. Mm-hmm. And shortly after that, felt a strong desire to serve God with my life. And I didn't know how that would take place, whether it would be in a church or perhaps in some other form of ministry, but I guess when I was 16, never seen a female in ministry before, so I kind of assumed I'd either be a missionary or mm-hmm. in the deepest, darkest parts of Africa, or perhaps I might marry a minister. Neither one of those two things happened, but after Ron and I got married, we were going to school and I had an opportunity to take a job working at Bright Divinity School, Texas Christian University in Fort Worth, as a secretary. Okay. One of the benefits of working there was full tuition for myself and my husband, and so we were just very fortunate to be able to do that, to finish our education. Mm-hmm. And while there, I began to see other women that were going into ministry, and God just gently nudged me along that path. And After I finished my undergraduate degree in religion studies, I went on to seminary, and shortly after starting seminary, had the opportunity to serve as a student minister in a congregation in Texas, and I felt like a fish in water. And it just was right. And even though I didn't have a whole lot of female role models as I was growing up, I was very much involved in the life of the church, and so it felt very, very right to me. And I've been doing that now. I was ordained in 1990, so I guess I've been ordained for 21 years now.
My goodness, that's quite a long time. And I think when God calls us, we find out what to do that's unique to us. It's not going
right.
to be exactly what somebody else does. So
exactly.
Mm-hmm. But I've known you also as a writer. So when did you start writing?
Well, I think I really started writing as a teenager. I've always been a dreamer. I drew pictures when I was little, pictures of fairy princesses on horses and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I was really known as a daydreamer in school. And a teacher that I had in ninth grade really taught me some of the ways to express the things that were floating in my head, all those thoughts and pictures, in writing. And so I began to journal and write, and I think also in high school I learned how to type, and so of course, we didn't have computers back then. Mm-hmm. We just had typewriters.
That's right.
But,
we did.
I was also a piano player, so it made it very, very easy for me to use my fingers. And I found myself closing my eyes and just typing to express my thoughts. So I would say all the way back in high school was when I really started to enjoy writing.
Mm-hmm. So because you are a musician, being a pianist, you know about discipline.
Yes.
So what has that transferred, or what have you learned about discipline with writing?
Writing, yes. I would say that writing is something like everything that you do that you have to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Your spiritual life, you've got to practice that in order to grow and mature. And I think the same thing applies for writing or any other skill that you want to develop. I began in 2005, actually, writing a daily meditation. And I kind of made it part of my spiritual practice to write every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess one of the things that caused me to start doing that was I went to a workshop on the spiritual disciplines of preaching with Dr. Fred Craddock, who's a very, very famous preacher and teacher, and he said in this seminar one of the things that that was his daily practice, as well, you know, of prayer and reading scripture and reading other things and exercising, that he wrote a page a day. He said it didn't matter what I was writing about. I could write about an experience I'd had. I could write about something I'd read. I could write about world events, whatever. I just wrote a page a day. And he said, I never set out to write a book. I just wrote a page a day.
Hmm.
And so I began to think about that in my own life of, well, jeepers, I could do that. I could write a page a day. And so I began in 2005 to work on that discipline and really enjoyed it. I would find contemporary or classical quotes that I found interesting and thought-provoking, and just began to write about life experience and about faith and about struggle and the things that make up our lives, and just began to do that for myself as a spiritual discipline. And then I thought, well, you know, some people in my congregation might be interested in this helping them to think about their own lives, and so did that, sent that out by email, and then, of course, you know how that goes. It went out to their friends and to their friends and to their friends. And so several thousand people started receiving these thoughts for the day. And so I began getting requests after a little while that I really ought to think about putting this in a book form, which is what I did.
Uh-huh. And what's it called?
It's called The Daily Grind, God with Your Coffee.
Uh-huh.
The idea is that in the dailiness of our lives, we need God to be a part of the practice of our lives. And so beginning that practice, thinking about God and what God wants for our lives and how God intersects with the struggles as well as the joys of our lives, helps us to make our way on this journey.
And I can vouch for it being a very useful book. It sits right with my other meditation books, and I read an entry each day. And I'm going to be finished with this in 6 days, Susan, so when's the next book going to be out?
Well, I hope that lots of people read the book so we can see if there's interest in having a second book. But we'll see how things go. I haven't yet really started marketing the book, so thank you for helping me with that.
Okay.
I do know that it has now made its way to several publishing houses.
Okay.
Including Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Cokesbury, wherever you do your online book shopping, it's probably there. And hopefully, if you ask for it at any of your local bookstores, they can get it for you easily, and hopefully soon it will be in those bookstores.
Did you have to self-publish this book?
I did self-publish this book with a company called AuthorHouse.com,
okay.
AUTHOR. And that is kind of the wave of the future now in book publishing. There are some traditional ways and some traditional means of publishing books, but if you have something that you want to share, it is a really affordable and a very popular way that lots of new authors are beginning their writing careers. So I would highly recommend doing the research of what works best for you. I've had a very good experience with Author House.
Oh, I'm very glad to hear that, because there's lots of people out there that have things they want to get published, but they don't know how to go about it. So this is really good. So if somebody wanted to consult with you to find out, you know, some particulars about how you go about things, would you be open to that?
Absolutely.
Okay. And how can they reach you?
They can reach me, email me at fdiamond@fccmontgomery.org. That's like First Christian Church,
okay.
fccmontgomery.org.
And it's S like Susan, so they won't think
right.
It's an F, because when we
right.
say it over here, sometimes it's hard. Okay. And if people wanted to come visit you at your church, that'd be okay, too?
We'd love to have you anytime.
Okay.
We have worship services on Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m., and the address of First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, is 1705 Taylor Road, Montgomery, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a website. I'd invite you to check that out at www.fccmontgomery.org.
Mm-hmm. All right, we can do that. And for our listening audience, they need to know that you've just been voted in as the first vice moderator for the Christian Church Disciples of Christ between 2011 and 2013. You and a team of two other people will be in charge of what?
We are the elected officers of our denomination to serve for 2 years, along with our general minister and president, Dr. Sharon Watkins.
Mm-hmm.
We oversee the general gatherings of the church, as well as the general board and the administrative committee that deals with the matters of our overall general church. And so I'm looking forward to that service, and appreciate my congregation's support in allowing me to be loaned to the general church a little bit over the next couple of years.
That is tremendous. Well, I really appreciate, Susan, you taking time out of your busy schedule to do this interview today.
Thank you. And
I'm very hopeful that this will start people getting interested and looking at your book and telling others about it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Melanie. I appreciate you including me in your program.
All right. Well, stay tuned, folks, and we will talk some more. This was a really interesting interview with Dr. Diamond, who is the pastor at First Christian Church in Montgomery, Alabama. Here's a passionate woman who is involved in trying to get some racial issues resolved in that area of the country. She's a writer.
She is married to a wonderful man who's a magician who travels around the country. She has a very interesting life. And we heard from Pastor Derek Smith, who founded and pastored an African-American church in Tallahassee. If you want to communicate with him and have him answer some questions, contact me at drmelaniebarton@gmail.com, and I'll get you in contact with him. But now it's time for us to go to a break.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Taking care of yourself should not be complicated. The process of restoring your health can be simple, easy, and enjoyable by making a few small changes one at a time. That's the principle behind From the Inside Out with your host, Dr. Rhonda Nelson. If you're looking for a simple way to improve your health, we'll provide the motivation, encouragement, and information about how to restore optimal health one step at a time and from the inside out. Tune in every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Here's a medical update from the Interstitial Cystitis Association. Interstitial cystitis, or IC, is a serious and chronic health problem that feels like a urinary tract infection, but does not respond to antibiotics. Also called painful bladder syndrome, IC can affect anyone. It is estimated that between 4 and 12 million people in the U.S. alone may have IC. That's more than the number of people with breast cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and autism combined. There is no known cause or cure, but there are treatments to help control symptoms and improve quality of life. For information on diagnosis, treatment, and support, visit www.ichelp.org. That's ICHELP, P as in Paul, .org. Or call 1-800-HELP, P as in Paul, ICA.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel. Today, we're hearing interviews of people who have been called by God, each in a unique way, each answering the call with some difficulty. But now this third interview is with Dr. Cheryl Price, who has been given a special mission. She's a minister and a healer. Let's hear her story. Today, I am interviewing Dr. Cheryl Price. Her doctorate is in sacred religious healing, and she is ordained through the church called Straight Way, which is a non-denominational church. Dr. Price is a gifted healer. She's been given a special mission to help heal the world, and we're going to talk about this. So, Dr. Price, how did you get this idea?
I'm glad you asked me that question, Melanie. Mm-hmm. The initial seed for this idea was really planted in my spirit probably a little, it was almost 2 years ago. I was at a conference in San Diego, California, mm-hmm. and there was a speaker, his name was Tim Kelly. He wrote a book entitled True Purpose. So when he was speaking about purpose. He uses this technique that he called, it's not a new technique, but it's just what he uses. It's called active imagination. And it's kind of like journaling. You find your trusted source or identify your trusted source. Then you ask your trusted source questions, any type of questions that you need answers to. Then you listen for the answer, and then you write the answer down. Mm-hmm. So we were in that particular meeting. And he told us to, you know, quiet ourselves, get in touch with our trusted source, mine, of course, was God, and ask the question, what was I meant to do? Mm. Listen for the answer and write it down. So when I asked, what am I meant to do? The answer came back to me, heal the world.
That's a big task.
Yes. And my next statement was, it wasn't even a question, I just said, that's too many people.
Yes.
And he said back to me, I know, but you can do it. And there was, you know, a little more conversation, but that was the main seed that was planted initially when I heard him say to me, after I said, what was I meant to do? He said, heal the world. So, you know, I was going on for the, you know, in that interim, just doing what I do, doing my work, doing my business, doing my healing, and wasn't really necessarily thinking about that heal the world. Mm-hmm. A couple of months ago, it was actually in April, when I was in my prayer time, the Lord said to me very clearly, I want you to call all the healers together so you can heal the planet. Now, I didn't even remember about the heal the world almost a couple of years ago until I start listening and trying to remember, trying to figure out how I can pull all this together. Then I remembered the seminar, went and got my notes, and when I saw the answer to what was I meant to do, that was just all the confirmations I needed. I was just really, really excited about it. So once I got that a couple of months ago, to call all the healers together, then I've been formulating a way to do that. And I said, okay, I need a global platform because we want global healers, healers from all over the world. And I said, well, once I get them together, what am I going to do with them? I mean, we need like a meeting place. So what came to me was the most global platform that I could think of at the time on the planet was actually the internet. So I put together the Healers on Purpose, which is a social network and a place for all of the healers to meet that are going to be a part of this Heal the World revolution.
And you just started this July the 1st.
I did. I launched it on July the 1st. Absolutely did.
And how many do you have so far?
I have, I think, about 20 or 21 healers that have joined Healers on Purpose.
Okay, well, I'm telling everybody about it and saying, go to this site. You need to sign up.
Yes, exactly.
So what is your plan for developing this?
Well, what I want to do, I've actually gotten this call in phases, and I'm doing the phase one right now, which is calling all of the healers together. And I'm using programs like your radio program to get the word out. I'm going to be doing, I depend a lot on word of mouth. Like you said, I'm telling everybody I know. And I think to me, that's still the greatest form of advertisement and getting people together is basically a recommendation. You are, you know, happy with it. You are there so you get other people to be there. I'm going to do press releases. I'm just going to do all kind of marketing and media, everything that I can think of that I can do to help to bring attention to Healers on Purpose.
Okay. What is the benefit going to be for the listeners?
The benefit for the listeners, since this is specifically for healers, then healers are going to be the ones who are going to be really touched by what's going on in this phase of it.
Okay.
Initially, just calling all of the healers together in that one place. And there is a lot of healing energy just with all of the healers being on that site and being with all the energy that we have, all the intuition we have, all the spirituality we have, just bringing it to that place. There's a lot that's even happening among healers, and we're there to encourage each other and to help each other and even to learn from each other and to get, you know, healing, because as healers, we need healing also.
Oh, yes.
So that's a good place to go to know the healers that are there. You know, we network with them, we communicate with them, we find out what they're doing, and really to heal ourselves, because that's part of the phase two is heal the healers.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, because we give and give and give and forget to get what we need.
You're absolutely right.
And then we're drained and we can't help anybody.
You're right.
And I know for me, in my practice, the only time I ever stopped is when I got sick, and then I gave myself permission to stop. And so
exactly.
Now I've learned, you know what? If I need a nap, I need to take a nap. I'm not good to anybody without doing that. So, so
you're absolutely right.
So what kind of healer are you, besides getting us all together?
I actually call myself a cognitive healer, and I came up with that after probably years and years of trying to put together exactly what is it that I do and what type of healing do I do. And basically, I teach people how to heal and how their body heals and how their thoughts can create their biology and how their thoughts create basically their life's condition and their health. So I'm more of a teacher. I teach how we can access our natural healing abilities because we do have them. God gave them to us. Our body was designed to heal itself. Mm-hmm. And that's where I come from when I deal with people, when I deal with my clients. That's 100%. It's education. And if there are people who are who have physical illnesses, then I also pray for people when I lay hands on them. That's something else that I, another type of healing that I do. Mm-hmm. But it's mostly teaching.
Okay. Yes, I have over the years tried to teach my clients that they know within themselves, that voice within mm-hmm. will tell them what they need to do, but they need to stop long enough and get quiet enough to listen to it.
You're absolutely right.
And we have to do that to ourselves, too, that you know,
if
somebody comes to us and we get this intuition, this gift that tells us you need to do this or you need to say this to them, you're thinking, they're not going to like that. No, let me say it a different way. But it doesn't work.
It doesn't. You know, sometimes you just have to say what needs to be said and just leave it there. That's what I find out. This is what I got. This is what I need to say. And because I'm going to take that off of me,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and do what I need to do and tell you really what you need to do. And then it's up to you to do with it whatever you feel that you want to do with it.
That's right. And people will sometimes say to me, how did you know that? I don't know. I just knew it. Well, who told
exactly.
you that? It's like, what I say to people is I pray before I see my clients and I ask for direction mm-hmm. and wisdom and insight and intuition. And so when it comes, I say, that's where it came from.
That's true.
And then they have to test it out to see if that fits for them or not. So.
Yeah.
So how long have you been a healer?
When I answer that question, I always say I've been a healer all of my life. I was like born a healer. Mm-hmm. My first actual client, I always call him, was my dad when I prayed for him when I was probably around 7 years old, and he was really sick. And after I prayed for him, then he was healed. So I've had the healing gift and the healing energy, but over the years, I just, you know, matured in it and developed it. So I've been really healing as long as I can remember.
Mm-hmm. And I know for me, like you, I've been healing all my life, but I had mm-hmm. to get the degrees in order to qualify that I could do what I say I could do. You know, get that piece
exactly.
of paper that says, yes, you're legitimate, you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's expensive to do that, but that's what you have to do sometimes. So.
That is true.
So if somebody hears this message or tells somebody about it and they want to join Healers on Purpose, what should they do? How do they do that?
Well, it's very simple to join. You can just go to the website. It's healersonpurpose.com. Very easy to remember. Healersonpurpose.com. And you can see, I mean, on the first page, it shows you, you know, a lot of the healers that are already there, all the information and everything that you can do once you join. So all you have to do is click join and just fill in, you're going to get an email back and just fill in, you know, a little information so I'll know who you are and what type of healing you do. And it's as simple as that. There's no fee or anything, no cost. Or if someone wants to talk to me, they can call me. Mm-hmm. I'd be more than happy to talk to anyone. My phone number is 714-299-0860. 6-9, and I'm on Pacific Standard Time.
That's something I'm learning to get used to, to have to figure out what time zone people are in. So, yes, that's
good. I know.
Good. All right.
I know.
We are very grateful that we've heard these three interviews today. Remember to send me your stories of how God has called you and your prayer wheel results. Next week, we're going to learn how to solve ADHD problems without medication. Remember, to help yourself, help somebody else.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.